له لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله We are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this great opportunity once again of continuing with our Ramadan tafsir. This Thursday, the 16th day of Ramadan, 1447 years after the hijrah of our noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam from Mecca to Medina. In the Masjid of the Bela Aminat schools in Boso, behind Boso Primary School, Boso Local Government Area of Niger State, Nigeria. We're reading Surah Al-Ma'idah. Surah Al-Ma'idah is the fifth chapter of the Noble Quran. And we read the seventh verse yesterday, I believe. So inshallah ta'ala, today we shall start from the eighth verse of Surah Al-Ma'idah, where Allah says,
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim min hamzihi wa nafthihi wa nafthih يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا وأقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم
الله سبحانه وتعالى says يا أيها الذين آمنوا كونوا قوامين لله شهداء بالقسط ولا يجرمنكم شنآن قوم على ألا تعدلوا اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, kunu qawwamina lillahi, be witnesses to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or stand firmly as witnesses with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shuhada abil qisbo. And qawwamina lillah, stand firmly by Allah, shuhada abil qisbo, given witnesses with justice. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ And do not let the hatred between you and the people dissuade you عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا dissuade you from being just to them. اِعْدِلُوا Be just هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى And being just is the closest to being conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واتقوا الله and be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or fear Allah they mean the same thing إن الله خبير بما تعملون verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all knowing concerning all that you do and he will tell you all that you did because he knows it he will tell you وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises those who believe and do good deeds. What is the promise He gives them? That for them is a forgiveness that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, and a big reward, a mighty reward. So our alim says, اذكروا, I mean, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّامِينَ لِلَّهِ شُهَدَاءَ بِالْقِسْطِ, says, كُونُوا قَائِمِينَ بِالْعَدْلِ قَوَّالِينَ بِالصِّدْقِ, stand firm on justice, be just when you rule, قَوَّالِينَ بِالصِّدْقِ, and always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. أَمَرَهُمْ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالصِّدْقِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Muslims to be just and to tell the truth, في أفعالهم, in their deeds, وَأَقْوَالِهِمْ, and in their speech. So when you interact with people, when you have any dealings with people, do it with justice, be just. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اِعْدِلُوا هُوَ أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى, isn't it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants those who are just, who deal with people with justice. And one big way of being just, when you interact with people, if you want to know that you do justice to people, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gives us a standard. And the standard is, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبَّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ. You know you're doing justice if you give to people what you would have wanted them to give to you. If you treat people the way you would have wanted to be treated, then you are doing justice. Because nobody wants evil for himself. So, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still asks that what you want for yourself must be the good thing. The good things that you want for yourself, you want for others, then you are doing justice. But the good thing that you, I mean, the thing that you know you would not want somebody to give you, or the way that you know you would want not want somebody to treat you, do not treat some other person like that. And then when you talk, also وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, when you talk, always say that which is good to hear to people. Always say good things to them. Do not say terrible things to people. And one of the ways to know that you're telling the truth to people is that you tell them what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, when you talk to people, do not be vulgar. Do not be harsh. Do not be insolent. These are always, you know, that what you're saying is not nice to people. If what you're saying is vulgar, or what you're saying is harsh, or you're being inconsiderate, or you are insolent, then of course, what you're doing is not right. If you're saying to people what you would not want them to say to you, that's why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, somebody asked him for advice. He said, لَا تَسُبَّنَّ أَحَدًا, do not ever insult anyone. So even if the person is a non-Muslim, if you want to talk to him, do not insult him. Do not ever use words of insolence to address anyone, no matter who the person is. لا تسبن أحدا ولا تحقرن شيئا من المعروف. And whatever is good, do not ever look down on it. Do not belittle it. If something is good, it is good. And it's always good and it applies. So when you say good things. وَأَنْتَ أَرْقَى أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهَكَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. And then in another advice, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam says, وإن عيرك أحد بما يعلم فيك أخوك بما يعلم فيك فلا تعيره بما تعلم فيه. If somebody says to you the things that he knows about you, the terrible things he knows about you, he uses that to insult you or to discredit you or to disparage you, or what again, what other word would we use? Huh? You know what it means to disparage?
No.
Huh? When you are saying something terrible about somebody to condemn him before people. Huh? That's not a good thing. Or when you write diatribes, you know diatribe? Huh? You don't know diatribe? Okay, sorry. I withdraw the word.
Okay.
Huh? So, but when you say terrible things, things that will discredit somebody, I'm emphasizing this because we're in the era of the politicians now. Muslims who are involved in politics. In the first place, partisan politics is not, ordinarily, is not an Islamic style of governance. It's not the Muslim way of choosing a leader. The reason why Muslims are participating in it is not because it is ordinarily halal. It is like فَمَنْ يَطْرَ فِي مَخْمَسَةٍ غَيْرَ مُتَجَانِفٍ لِإِثْمٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. The qiyas is like that. It's because you cannot escape it. You are part and parcel of the system. There is nowhere you can go. You can't seek asylum anywhere. You have to remain here. And since you have to remain here, automatically, whether you like it or not, you are part of the system. So the only way you can remedy yourself is to participate in such a way that you contribute to making the system better, to bringing about a change in the system. That's the only reason why you're participating. But Muslims who have found themselves in this, they should always look at themselves as people who are eating pork because they are hungry and there is no other food. So if you get bread instead of pork, will you still eat pork?
No.
No, you won't. That's how politicians should be looking at themselves. You're only there to correct the ills in the system, not to be part and parcel of the thing, not to become part of the system. When you ask some politicians, stop doing this thing, it's not nice, they will say, the only reason why I perform ablution is so that I can pray. Or the only reason why I pray is so that I'll get reward. So what are they saying? They join politics so that they will be part of the corrupt practices that are going on. And this is what they are using as analogy with salah and ablution and all that. That's a terrible thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when you want to talk, talk justly, say the truth and do not lie. And when you want to deal with people, be just. The things that you would not want somebody to do to you, do not do to others. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, Ishfa'u tu'jaru. Always seek good for somebody. If somebody is seeking something good, help him to get it. Talk to somebody and say, please help so-so person. Instead of what politicians do now, you have seen somebody that's about to obtain something. You say, but how can our party be doing this for so-so person when he's not in our party? He's not a member of our party, so he should not get it. And then they will go and spoil his chances. He will not get it, somebody else will. If somebody had done that to you, would you have been happy? You would not have been happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, one of the things you can do to do justice to others is do to them what you would have wanted somebody else to do to you. If somebody has a secret, something he doesn't want anybody to know on earth, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to conceal the secrets of others. It is said that if you're passing by and you perceive alcohol on somebody, on a Muslim. It's as if he just went to drink alcohol and you can perceive the smell. You pass by him, what do you say? As a Muslim, what should you say? The ulama say you should say, oh, somebody has poured alcohol on my brother. And now he's smelling. Somebody who does not know will think he drank it. But I know somebody poured alcohol on him. And you will go, that's all. So no suspicion. Let alone condemnation. If somebody does that to you, would you be happy? Huh? If somebody smelled alcohol or cigarette on you, and then he said, oh, maybe somebody smoked near you, and he does not suspect you of smoking. He just says, maybe somebody smoked near you, and now the thing is has spoiled your dress, you're smelling cigarette, but I know you didn't smoke. If somebody says that to you, would you be happy? Huh? You would be happy, huh? You say, oh, this person thinks well of me. So why not do it to others too? When you smell it and somebody say, this rascal has gone to smoke again. Is that not what we do? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said we shouldn't do that. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ لَا يَحْمِلَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ بُغْضُ قَوْمٍ. The fact that you hate a people should not deter you from doing this kind of justice we're talking about. No matter how much you hate somebody. No matter how much you hate him. There's somebody like that, that his case came up. When his case came up, the person that was supposed to talk on him, to make a comment on him, he had already given up. Said that if it is that one, I know I won't even get it. Because already we're enemies. And now it is he that will make a decision on me. I just know I've lost it. So they went to the person. They said, what do you know about so-so person? He said, wallahi, he's a very good man. The person cried. He said, what? He said that about me? He said, yes. He said, you're a very good man. He said a lot of things about you. And what he said was the truth. He said this, he said this, he said that. And the person said, but that is all true. He did not lie. But did you say that it was so-so person that said it? He said, yes. He spoke about you like that. These people did not know that there was anything between them. But he was wondering, is it so-so person? He said, yes. He said, but do you know me and that person, we don't even greet. I consider him my enemy. And I thought I was going to lose that chance because you said he was the one to decide on me. He said, but he didn't do so. The quarrel that you had, he did not even mention it. He just mentioned some things about you that even we did not know. He praised you despite all the disagreements between you. That's how every Muslim should be. That's how it should be. You know, Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he was given zakat, you know, something belonging, like something of the Baytul Mal to take care of. And then somebody came and was stealing from it. He caught him and he said he was going to report him. The man said, please, do not report me. Please forgive me, this and that. I was hungry, blah, blah, blah. He said, okay, don't come back. So he allowed him. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw Abu Hurairah. He said, what happened between you and your friend yesterday? He said, who told you? Nobody told us. It was in the dark. He said, I knew. I knew about him. He said, this is, but he gave me an excuse. And he said he would not come back. He said he lied to you, he would come back. And he did. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is actually Rasulullah. So the man came back. The same thing happened. Abu Huraira said he would report him. He said, please forgive me. I will not come back. He told the Prophet said he will come back. Then on the third occasion, he said, this time, nobody will come between us. I must report you. He said, please, if you leave me now, I promise you I won't come back. And I'm going to teach you a dua with which you will seek protection from evil ones. And Allah will protect you. What is it? He said, recite Ayatul Kursi. No jinn, no shaitan will harm you. And so, told him that, and he left him. So when Abu Huraira told the Prophet that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet said, sadaqaka. He told you the truth. Wahuwa kazub, even though he's a liar. But as far as this statement of his is concerned, he told you the truth. So what do we get from this? Even if somebody is a liar, he tells lies. But he tells a truth once. You will not say because he's a liar, this truth will not be accepted from him. As Muslims, we don't do that. If what he said is the truth, it is the truth. And we accept it as the truth. So the fact that you hated that person before because of his past deeds, because of his antecedents, that should not stop you now from being just to the person and saying exactly what you know about him. So وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. So he says, عَلَىٰ تَرْكِ الْعَدْلِ فِيهِمْ لِعَدَاوَتِهِمْ. So the fact that there is enmity, the fact that you hate the person, or you knew him to be evil in the past, does not mean now, if he says the truth, or if he does what is right, you will not say that what he did is right. Do not say that. اِعْدِلُوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, be just. يعني في أوليائكم وأعدائكم. Be just concerning your friends and concerning your enemies. The witness that you bear should always be with the truth. Stand by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always say that which is true. Even if the person you are saying the truth about is somebody you do not like, it doesn't matter. Since now that is the truth, you say it as it is. Huwa aqrabu lit-taqwa, ya'ni ila at-taqwa. This is the closest to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you tell the truth like that, this draws you close to at-taqwa. Wattaqu Allah, and be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna Allah khabirun bima ta'malu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that you do. Khabir, ordinarily, khabar is a reference to story that he will tell you, he will relate to you. But what it means here is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware of all that you do. So if you tell the truth, Allah knows. If you lie, Allah knows. If you are just, Allah knows. If you are unjust, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Whatever you do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose you on the day of resurrection. So it's better you just stand by what is the truth and do it, not minding whatever will happen. Then Allah says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ وَهَذَا فِي مَوْضِعِ النَّصَرِ لِأَنَّ فِعْلَ الْوَعْدِ وَاقِعٌ عَلَى الْمَغْفِرَةِ ورفع على تقدير أي وقال لهم مغفرة وأجر عظيم. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised الذين آمنوا, those who believe, وعملوا الصالحات and do good deeds. الإيمان, the definition of الإيمان here in the Quran, sometimes Iman could be a reference to good deeds. To good deeds. A good deed. Salah can be Iman. Zakah can be referred to as Iman. Any good deed can be referred to as Iman. But then when Allah says, Allazina amanu wa amilu salihati, then you know that Iman here is not a reference to all those other good deeds that you do with your limbs. So Iman here is referring to your itiqad, what you believe inside you. Like the ulama would say, Al-Imanu, what? Itiqadun bil-qalbi, qawlun bil-litani, wa amalun bil-jawari, right?
No.
But here, that complete definition does not apply to Iman here. It doesn't apply to Iman here. Iman and Islam sometimes can mean the same thing, like it means here. Iman and Islam can mean the same thing. Iman and Islam can differ. Like when Allah says, Qalatil A'rabu Amanna, the villagers, the village Bedouins, what do they say? The Bedouins, what do they say? They say, we believe. We have Iman. Ullam tu'minu. Tell them, you do not believe. So what does Allah mean here? Tell them you do not believe. They are saying we believe. And Allah says, no, you do not believe. So does Allah mean that they are kuffar? No. Walakin qulu aslamna. But just say, we have said the kalima of la ilaha illallah. Now somebody who says la ilaha illallah, does he not have Iman? It's kalimatul Iman now. But then Allah separates them here. So when you say la ilaha illallah, you become a Muslim. When you go beyond that, you perform salah, you give zakah, you do this, then you become a mu'min. That's why Allah says, innama al-mu'minuna al-lazina amanu billahi wa rasulihi thumma lam yartabu wa jahadu bi amwalihim wa anfusihim fi sabilillah. Ulaika hum as-sadiqun. So the ones that are called mu'minun there will be the ones that have gone beyond just saying la ilaha illallah. Those who have also followed it with actions, with good deeds, is the same type that Allah is talking about here. إِنَّ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Those who say la ilaha illallah. That's amanu here. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And then they engage in the acts of Iman. They perform salah, they give zakah, they say good deeds, they shun sins, and so on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises them. What is the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such people? لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah has promised those who believe and do good deeds that He will forgive their sins and He will give them good rewards. That He will forgive their sins and give them good rewards. So for each good deed that you engage in, your reward is, first of all, Allah will forgive your sins. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in al-hasanat yudhibna as-sayyi'at. Good deeds. Good deeds erode your bad deeds. Your sins, your good deeds will erode them. So the ulama are trying to use Luga Arabiya to bring out the wisdom in this statement. So they said, al-hasanat is the jam of what? Hasanatun. One, isn't it? So hasanat. So automatically this jam is what? Mu'annath or mudhakkar? Mu'annath, oh? Very good. Now, al-hasanat, are they living or are they non-living? الحسنات. Are they living or non-living? حسنات is a reference to reward, isn't it?
No.
Is it non-living or is it living? It's non-living. It's something you can't see. I'm surprised it took you time to give me the answer. Huh? Or maybe I should say, is it tangible or
non-tangible?
Intangible. Good. Okay, that one is easier. Huh? So it's not tangible. Yeah? There is a rule in Arabic. For instance, the jam of women. Is that how it is done? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Al-Hasanat yuzhibna. Al-Hasanat are non-living. Should it be yuzhibna? Or what should it be? Huh? For instance, An-Nisa'u. An-Nisa'u, what do you say? Tazhabna or yazhabna? Huh? Yazhabna. Why? Okay, maybe let me not take you on too much this thing. Let me cut it short for you. So now, if there are many, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses this for women, for living things, if they are feminine. For instance, wallahi ya'isna min al-mahid. How many are these women that Allah is talking about here? There are many. Good. So he says ya'isna. Yazhabna, yuzhibna is supposed to be for many. Do you understand? Why is Allah using it when it's supposed to be for the living, not the intangible? It's supposed to be for the tangible, the living. But this one is non-living. But Allah is using that for them. They said the hikmah is, even if the hasanat are small, they do the work of very many things. So small hasanat can take care of very big sins. So do not belittle whatever good deed you have to do. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ شَيْئًا مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ وَأَنْتَ لَقَى أَخَاكَ وَأَنْتَ مُنْبَسِطٌ إِلَيْهِ وَجْهَكَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ. If anything is good, it's a good deed. Do not ever belittle it. As little as it could be, it will take care of very big sins of yours. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for instance, says that when you perform wudu, when you wash the hand, the sins you committed with the hand will fall off. Some people will say it has to be al-lamam. No. No, even kaba'ir, maybe you even murdered somebody sometime mistakenly and you don't know how to get out of it. You do some small good deed but with a good intention. Maybe you went to Allah, you said dua and you were crying because you were regretting that what you did was terrible and you want Allah's forgiveness. That crying alone to you is a small good deed. But that very big deed that you did, you think Allah will never forgive. Allah will forgive you for it and even more. See the story of Sahib al-Ragifa. You know the story, don't you? Let me not bore you with it. Do you know the story? Huh? You know. Okay, so I don't have to tell you again. It is the youngest of you that said it. Huh? So the elder should also know. Huh? So this is it's an authentic hadith that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us. If I have not forgotten, it's in Sahih al-Tirmidhi. Sunan al-Tirmidhi, Imam al-Tirmidhi reported it. And it's amongst the sahih of the book. That there was a man in those days before Islam, before our version of Islam. He was a Muslim too. But in the time of the Banu Israel, he was said to have devoted himself to the worship of Allah. they stayed in the mosque, in their own kind of mosque, for 70 years, dedicated themselves to the service of Allah. It was just seeking Allah's forgiveness, worshipping Allah. Once in a while, he would just go out, look for something to eat, come back and continue worship. So he was always in the mosque. 70 years. Then one day, he saw a woman passing, and the shaytan made her attractive to him. So when he saw her, he was attracted to her. He went and talked to her, and the woman agreed. He followed her to her room, and he committed adultery with her. A'udhu billah. And then from then, he continued. For 7 days, he was with her. Was fornicating or committing adultery with her. I don't know if he was married or not. So after 7 days, on the 7th day, something just sparked in his brain. And subhanAllah, he remembered and he started crying. Say, subhanAllah, all these my 70 years I have wasted with this act. This me started regretting. He left her place and was coming back to the place he had lived for 70 years. On his way, he would just remember, he would start crying. He would fall on his face, prostrate to Allah, and keep asking Allah for forgiveness. As he was doing that, caught up with, either the rain was going to fall or something, he hit somewhere, and he saw that there were people, poor people, staying in something like a cave. He stayed with them. While they were there, somebody came that was used to giving them, let me just call it bread. So because there were 11 of them there, he always brings 11, and he'll give to each person. He'll give one to each person and go. So when he came, he did the same thing. He was handing over the bread and they were collecting. He was close, so he stretched his hand. He also collected one. So he gave the 11 people. Now there were 12 people in the place, but he did not know. He gave 11 and he went. So there was somebody in the place that was used to collecting, but that day he was not close to the place where they were given. So he didn't get his own. Now after that man had gone, this stranger now realized that there was somebody who didn't get this bread. He said, since this man brought this particular number and gave us and went, it means he usually gives them that number and that is their number. So now I have taken what belongs to somebody else. So he said, that man, take my own. He gave it to the man and he stayed without the bread. And then he slept and dreamt. In the dream, he saw that they were judging him. All the good deeds that he did for 70 years, Allah said he should be brought, all his rewards. They were put on one side of the scale. Then that sin that he committed for 7 days. So one day is now standing, one day of sin, or maybe just once, one zina is now standing for 10 years of his good deeds. One zina against 10 years of his good deeds. So they weighed the zina for 7 days on the other side of the scale. This good deeds for 70 years disappeared. This one overweight. His good deeds for 70 years as if everything had disappeared, nothing. This zina had taken over. So he deserves to be punished in hellfire now. Those 70 years have been wasted by this zina of 7 days. A'udhu billah. So he was terrified. And to him, he just knew he was going to hellfire. There was no escape. So but Allah said, hold on. Now you do not know any other good deeds that you have that will take you to Jannah. He said, but do you remember that bread, that dry bread that you gave that man? They said they should weigh it. When they weighed it, it overweighed that sin of that dinner. And that's how he went to Al-Jannah. Then he woke up. So you see, his worship for 70 years did not get him as much reward as his sadaqah on one occasion. Bread that he gave somebody. That bread in the first place was not his own. Was it? It was not his own. But it was mistakenly given to him. And to do justice, he said, this is the person that it belongs to. So he gave it to him. And as a result of that, he was now free from the sin that he had committed. May Allah forgive us. Hasanat yudhibna sayyat. May Allah forgive us. And may Allah accept our hasanat. And forgive our sayyat. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا
وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. So in the other ayah, we're talking about people who وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. So this is how the Quran works. When the Quran brings you good deeds, it also brings you bad deeds. When the Quran tells you about the mercy of Allah, it also tells you about the punishment of Allah. When the Quran tells you about the punishment of Allah, it will also bring you the good deeds. I mean the mercy of Allah. So it's between al-wa'd wal-wa'id. Always, that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to preach to. When you're preaching to people, do not always tell them only about hellfire. Also tell them about Jannah. Reminds me of the story that Sheikh Jafar told, may Allah have mercy on his soul, of one of their teachers. He said the teacher went, I think I've told you that here before. Said he went to a village, and when he went to that village, he preached in their mosque and he was telling them about Jannah, about the women of Jannah, about the girls, the boys that will serve you in Jannah, the beauty of Jannah, the fragrance of Jannah, all those things. And people were very happy, they were laughing, they were, you know, everybody was hoping for Jannah, Jannah. And then when he had finished, a Bedouin followed him, said, but you, this is your God. Is different from the God of our teacher, our Imam that we have here. Your own God is different from him, Abi. Yeah, subhanAllah. Says, are you not a Muslim? There is only one God. He says, yeah, yes, sir, no. But your own has Jannah and his own has fire, hellfire. Says your own God. It's only hellfire that he has. He has snakes in the grave, he has scorpions in the grave, he has... So that is because, of course, that one, Wallahu Alam, maybe because he knows them to be stubborn people. And that they are always sinning, and no matter how you preach to them, they do not abstain. So he's always telling them about the consequences of sin, because they are a perverse people, and they are obstinate, they do not repent. So because of that, he's always telling them about punishment, warning them about punishment, you know, like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam with Banu Israel. You know, if you look at most of the time, Musa was telling them about the wrath of Allah because they were a very stubborn people. ذَلِكَ بِمَا أَصَوْا وَكَانُوا يَعْتَدُونَ. لُؤِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم. You enough. Allah crossed them because they were very stubborn people. So maybe that's why the alim was telling them that. All the same, when you preach, preach the way the Quran preaches. Tell people good and tell people the other side, the consequences of doing bad. So that's how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always deals with us. And you too, when you relate with Allah, that's how you should relate with Him. You are afraid of His punishment, but you also want His reward. So while you are afraid of going to hellfire, you also cannot wait to go to Jannah. So you live bayna al-khawfi wal-raja. So there will be no time you say, I have guarantee today I'm going to Jannah. No. And there should be no time when you say, no. No Jannah, I just know. You just know that you're going to hellfire. No. Do not ever say that. There was somebody that did that, Allah corrected him. He said, as for him, he knows he's going to hellfire. So he said, when he dies, his children should burn his corpse, cremate him, and then scatter the ash. Do not even throw it at one go. Throw one here, throw one the other place, so that this one flows this way, this one flows the other way. So when they had done that, Allah brought him back together. And then, kun fayakun. So he became what he was. And then Allah said, but why did you do that? Why did you say they should do that to you? He said, it's because I'm afraid of your punishment. I know that I have sinned so much that if I meet you, I know it won't be good. Allah said, that fear in you alone has made me forgive you. All the things you did, all those things you know you have, the fact that you are afraid of my punishment is enough for me. I forgive you. So, you like this story, don't you? Huh? So, it's now a burden on you. It's a task on you to also implement it when you're dealing with people. The way you like Allah to forgive all your sins at one go, you too, when you know that your child has committed an offense and is so afraid of you, is avoiding you, call him, instead of punishing him, give him sweets. That relief that he will feel now will probably make him resolve that he will not do it again, because he doesn't know if next time is going to be provoked that you receive, not sweets. So apply that to people too. Be forgiven. Irhamu man fil ardi yarhamkum man fil sama. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who are unbelievers, who disbelieve, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they disbelieve our signs. All the things we tell them in the Quran, they disbelieve. وَإِنْ يَرَوْا آيَةً يُعْرِضُوا وَيَقُولُوا سِحْرٌ مُسْتَمِرٌ. They are behaving like that. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows them the truth, brings them verses of the Quran, they disbelieve. And they say, it's just magic, we won't believe this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that. So is there a difference between تَكْذِيب آيَاتِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى and كُفْرٌ بِاللَّهِ? Is there a difference? كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا. What does it mean? They disbelieved and they also put to lie all of Allah's signs. Is there a difference between these two? No difference. They're the same thing, aren't they? The one who says, for instance, the Quran is a lie, and the one who says there is no Allah, what is their difference? Is there any difference? In the sense that they're all kuffar. Somebody was saying on Facebook that he believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he does not believe that there will be resurrection. that there will be no judgment after people have died, because what happens to your body is an irreversible reaction. So there is nothing like coming back. So scientifically, it's not possible for one who has died to come back, because they said to do this, this one will do that, that and that. And once this one has disappeared, there's no way you can bring it back. It's just like wood. When you burn it, how can you bring it back to wood and make it stand erect and blah, blah, blah. But he says, but he believes in Muhammad. Is that true? It's not true, isn't it? So they are all the same thing. So why is Allah saying, kafaru wa kazzabu bi ayatina? So their kufr is bi takzibi ayatina. Kafaru, they disbelieved because they said the ayat of Allah are false. So this is not an apof that you're adding this to this. It's not so. That's why we say it's not possible for you to pick up the Quran by yourself and say you understand it and now you want to explain it to people. It's not possible. You have to be taught. You have to understand a lot of things. And the only one that can teach you is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, but now he is not available. So how? The ahadith with which he explained the Quran are the ones you follow through the ulama, the ones that learn from, the ones that learn from, the ones that learn from up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this deen, al-isnadu min ad-deen. Lawla al-isnad, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their kufr is that they disbelieve the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulaika ashabul jahim. The signs of Allah are the Quran, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-ba'ath, and so on. Yawm al-qiyamah. All of those things are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ghaybiyat. Al-lazina yu'minuna bil-ghaybi wa yuqimuna salata wa yu'tuna zakata. الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك. All of those are ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anybody disbelieves in these, automatically he's a kafir. Meaning there are times that the word kufr will be used on somebody. It doesn't mean that he does not believe in the signs of Allah. He believes in the signs of Allah. He believes in the Quran. He believes in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He believes in all those things. That iman is there in his heart. Yet he is called the kafir. Why? His kufr is through lips. He refused to do something that Allah wants him to do. That is his own type of kufr. Not the kufr of not believing. These two, are they the same? Like the person who refuses to pray, even though he knows it is compulsory, he believes it's compulsory, but he refuses to pray. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called his act kufr. This type of kufr, is it the same as the kufr of not believing that the prayer is compulsory? Eh? They are not the same. So this one is kufr duna kufr. Huh? So participating in partisan politics, ordinarily it is kufr, because partisan politics is un-Islamic politics. But the belief in you, the approach that you're giving it, is what will differentiate you from the other person who believes that democracy is good. You are doing it as something that's not good, and you say it's because you have the darura. You cannot be the kafir that the other person is when he completely does not believe it is wrong. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. This kind of siyat comes in Surah Al-Hadith, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الذين آمنوا بالله ورسله أولئك هم الصديقون, right? والشهداء عند ربهم. ولهم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب الجحيم. Is that how it is? لهم أجرهم ونورهم. Right? والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب الجحيم. Is that correct? Your sin is that you're lying down. Get up, my friend, get up. Yes, so that kind of siyah. So that this word of kufur, kafaru, kafara, the ayatina, we have to be careful about the way that we use it. Inshallah ta'ala, we'll stop here. Because we have since been told that we have run out of time. Which one are we starting from? That of today. That's the one of beyond today. Okay. But you didn't delete this one. Is there a reason eating camel meat makes one's ablution invalid? Yes. The reason is that the Prophet said so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You want to know any other reason? The reason is that the Prophet said so. If you eat the meat of camel, then your ablution is vitiated. The only reason is that the Prophet said so. Do you have any reason that is greater than that? No. So that is it. You don't have to know the wisdom behind anything. If it were like that, you'd even be asking, but why should it be that if I fart the air that I have to perform another ablution? Why? What's the wisdom? You'll also be asking now. The ablution that I performed, I did not wash my anus. So the fact that something came out of my anus should not affect those places that I washed. But that is not how the Sharia is judged. That's not how we look at the Sharia. The Sharia is simply submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the next one is, may Allah reward me abundantly. Ease all my affairs and assist me in all my endeavors. Ameen. Say, banks at the end of every month put some amount of money into his savings account as interest. He usually removes this money and gives it out as sadaqah. Can he use this money to help orphans and widows of a close relative? No. If money is riba, it is haram. If you withdraw it, you shouldn't give it as sadaqah. What you should do is donate it to projects that are public, like wells, or building of schools, or building of roads, and things like that. Contribute to such projects. All the money is big, just use it to construct road in your village or something like that, for everybody to use, both Kafir, Muslim, everybody. But do not give it to a particular individual, let alone use it to build a mosque or something. Don't do all of that with it. إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى طَيِّبْ وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. This one says, may Allah preserve me upon khair. Ameen. What is the ruling on someone who is praying behind an imam, and most especially in the last sujood, after the imam has risen from it, that is last sujood, he remains in sujood for some more time before rising to join the imam in tashahud. And after the imam makes his taslim, he is still in tashahud until he has completed all his supplications and then made his own taslim. This is a bid'ah. This is an innovation. It's not permissible. And this innovation is even particularly terrible because, anyway, in all innovations, you disobey the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. The Prophet says, إِنَّمَا جُعِلَ الْإِمَامُ لِيُؤْتَمَّ بِهِ. He did not stop there. said, فَإِذَا كَبَّرَ فَكَبِّرُوا فَإِذَا رَكَعَ فَارْكَعُوا and so on. Whatever he does, leave your own and follow him. Do what he's doing. So if you are in sujood, you're saying, Allahumma ghafir li zambi kulla. Before you say, Dibkahu wa jilla, he rises, cut short your dua and rise with the imam. Allah knows what you wanted to say. Allah will complete it for you and give you what you were going to ask for. So don't say, I have to finish my dua. Because if I don't finish, Allah will not know what I wanted to say. Eh? Allah already knows what you want to say. Huh? So whatever it is you want to do, you already have the intention, you have the reward for the intention. If the imam did not allow you to do it, just rise. If the imam can take off the Fatiha for you, what else is it that the imam cannot take off for you? If you came and joined the imam, you didn't get the Fatiha. You joined him in ruku, and you did ruku with him. Do you have the Fatiha? You do. Because you do not have to repeat that rak'ah. You have gotten the rak'ah, even though you did not perform, you did not recite Fatiha. But you have gotten it because the imam has taken it off for you. Do we understand? So all of those things, do not insist on finishing your own. Once you have an imam, the imam takes it off your shoulder. So once the imam finishes his own, you also join him. That's what you should do. Allahu ta'ala a'lam. Are we through? اللهم قسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما حييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا ولا تسلط علينا بذنوبنا من لا يخافك فينا ولا يرحمنا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك